Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1. And the Bible says this: "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he thought within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight just thankful for the good spirit in the place, Lord, the testimonies, and Lord, just glad for the songs of Zion. Lord, I appreciate that so much. We stand here again, Lord, in a place I'm so dependent upon you. I need touch tonight. Give me some unction, Lord. Help me to effectively communicate the word of God tonight, we pray. Give me boldness, Lord, wisdom, I pray, to say everything I should say, Lord. But God, I pray everything I do will glorify you, will honor you. Help us, we pray tonight. Help us to hear your word and, Lord, apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I don't know why I'm in this continual thing, but I'm going to preach on this tonight. I'm going to keep on praying. Keep praying. That's what we're going to preach on tonight. Keep praying. I know we've been preaching on some things we need to keep doing, but that's just where the Lord's led me as we come to this chapter, Luke chapter number 18. It opens up with Jesus giving a parable about prayer. And he gives his message regarding prayer, and then he provides this parable, this illustration to us to enhance it or to help us understand it. And notice the message. The message is found in verse 1. It's very clear what he's trying to teach here. He says this. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now that's the instruction tonight, and what he's going to give us after that is to help us to do that. That's what you and I are called to do. Now that word ought you find there, it speaks of a duty or an obligation. May I say, as children of God, as believers, there is some duty and obligation in our Christian walk. There are some things that we are held accountable for and things that we're responsible for, and one of the great things, though it is a privilege, one of the great duties of the Christian life is to pray. And Jesus tells us here that we ought to always to pray and not to faint. Now, the amazing thing about this parable, this is maybe one of my favorite, is because of how he presents it. Normally, Jesus often taught parables with comparison. He likened something here and he likened it to something else, and the comparison is how he taught us. But here, he uses the opposite. He uses contrast. And as we go down through here, we'll see about this judge that we'll find that who he likens this to, he's nothing like God. But we can see in the contrast some things we can learn about the Lord and praying. And the word faint here, it means this. It means to fail. It means to quit. It means to be off and on or to be inconsistent. And may I say, I believe if we're all honest, we'll find that oftentimes our prayer life falls into that category sometimes. Off and on, inconsistent. But the Lord's trying to teach us to be consistent in our prayers, to be persistent. And here he's teaching this same thing, and he uses this widow woman to illustrate having a persistent prayer life, not giving up, not giving in to the circumstances and the season that you're in and just letting the season rule over you, not giving up and saying, well, we can't do anything else. But the Lord's teaching us to continue to pray and to pray and to pray. Now, you'll notice this lady here, she is in this moment, and what she's doing, she's in a bit of a season of affliction. You'll talk about an adversary and an enemy. She's maybe in a time of hardship. She is a widow woman, and widows oftentimes we see in the Bible, we can go back to the Old Testament and find they struggled in some ways. There were some laws that cared for them, but we see here that she's praying or she's being persistent in a difficult time. It's easy to pray when things are going good. But I mean, the persistence is to continue when you're tired, when you're overwhelmed, when you're going through the struggles that you're facing. And I want you to see here, this widow was needing, she had a need that needed to be met. She had an adversary and she wanted some justice. She wanted to be done right based on whatever happened. Somebody wronged her. I don't know the exact circumstance of the lady, but you can take from the context, somebody had done her wrong and she needed to get right. She needed some justice in her life. And we see here that the Bible tells us in verse 5 that she was very persistent on this issue. It says in verse 5, this is the testimony of the judge, her continual coming. Now, she continued to come to this judge. Now, it does not give us the measurement of if that meant daily, if that meant weekly, if that meant hourly, if that meant multiple times a day, but this is just in my mind. This is how I perceive this right here. I think about a lawyer's office. This is what I think of. I think of a lawyer's office, and I think I ain't been in very many courtrooms, but I've seen some courtrooms, and I think about in the lobby of the room, and I think about every day this man came into work carrying his briefcase, and as he was coming in, he walked in, and every single day there that lady sat right in the welcome center right there every single day. She'd already come in and he had to walk by her every day. And every day she would continue to come to him and she would say, I need to be avenged. I can picture this in my mind. There's a continuance here persistently. I mean, you know what? He probably went down to Kroger a few times and there she was coming out with the groceries. Here he is with the buggy cart full of groceries and there's that lady again. Everywhere he goes, he's beginning to see this. She continually came to him. There was a persistence there. I want you to see this, and Jesus is talking this about prayer, and we'll make this application, but I want you to grasp this lady just kept coming over and over. And when we think about that, you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, as we look here, we see that finally this guy, he is this unjust judge, over and over, he says, this woman is troubling me. Like when he comes in the morning, and he's fresh on Monday morning, and he walks in and he sees that lady, automatically he's in a bad mood. You know what I'm talking about. Just automatically agitated, irritated. Just her presence is bothering him. And then she continually to ask him to be avenged. And then you can see here that he even begins to say about it wearying him. You know what he was trying to say is, he says, if I don't do something about this, she's going to wear me out. You ever have things about that? That's what we're seeing right here, the persistence to continue on. If you look at the word trouble and you look at those words and you look at the word weary, it literally pictures someone that's being annoyed or vexed. I mean, it's talking about something that really deep down in your soul aggravates you, kind of annoys you to a degree. And then that weariness, it speaks of wearing him out. She was literally wearing this guy out continually. There was a persistence there. Now, I want you to notice some things here, because Jesus is using contrast here, and that's how he's going to teach us this application. Her persistence to this man who did not care about God nor man, but her persistence is what got her the answer and the need she needed met. Her continual coming. Her continual going to where he was and being there and just her presence. I don't know all that she said. She might have been a quiet. I mean, this is my mind, and you can. I think about this text, and I just think about him walking in just automatically. I mean, if he was chewing gum, he'd stop chewing it. Like, he just saw her. I mean, he just looked in, and there she is. You know, reading the same Better Homes and Garden magazine from 1993, right, that's been in a doctor's office. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They ain't changed them in 60 years. She's just sitting there, continual, persistent, day by day. That's how she was. And we see that this unjust judge who didn't care, if you read this text, you'll find that Jesus says this about him, and then he testifies himself in what he says about him when Jesus is using this parable. But he didn't care about anybody but himself. You say, how do I know that? Well, he didn't regard man nor regard God. He was a selfish man. He didn't care about nothing else but himself. And that's important, because what we're going to see in this text is he's getting so worn out and getting so aggravated because it helped him or affected him He avenged her. He gave her justice because it just benefited him. You see that? He didn't care about her. He didn't care about her. He didn't want her in his office. He didn't want her at the courtroom. He didn't want her to show up every single day. But because it got on his nerves, because it aggravated him. If you got kids, you know what that is. I mean, you know what that is. I mean, they'll ask you 75 different ways. 75 times. And I ain't got 75 no's. I mean, I got some, but I ain't got 75. Right? I want you to kind of see this picture in your mind here. But he says that her persistence to come, he said, because she's wearing me out and getting on my nerves, I'm just going to get rid of her and just do this thing. Now, we don't know if he was just putting it off. Oftentimes you read, and a lot of the commentators will talk about then, that she didn't have somebody to represent her. He was unjust, meaning he did not always follow the law. Maybe she didn't have enough money to kind of get the case brought up to the front, right? She didn't know somebody that could help her get the. That's how our judicial system works now. You know, there's some privilege in those things, but he was unjust, and she was a widow. She didn't have very much to offer him, so maybe he just kept putting her case off. But because she was persistent in coming to him, he said, I'm going to get rid of her. Now, here's what Jesus is teaching us. If the unjust, selfish judge met the needs of this widow woman because she was persistent, how much more will our Father in heaven meet the needs of his children that cry unto him day and night? If this guy was just motivated by her persistence, how much more will God in heaven, who loves us and care for us, if we're persistent in prayer, begin to answer our prayers and to help us? Jesus is teaching us to be persistent in our prayer life. We'll see it throughout the scripture. Jesus is showing that unlike the unjust judge, God is ready and willing to answer the prayers of his own. You know what? We don't aggravate him. We don't upset him. That's how this man was operating out of anger and out of aggravation, but I'm glad to tell you that God's ready and willing to answer the prayers of his children. That's what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us to keep praying, to don't quit, to don't give up, to don't give in to the weariness that we may go through. May I say, it's not always easy to keep praying, but keep praying. Matthew chapter number 7, you can read there in the text verses 7 and 8, Jesus taught this same persistence. He says in verse 7, he says, ask and it shall be given you. Now notice how this progresses. He starts by asking. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I can think about this in a reference to visitation. Walking down the street, going up to the next house, whoever you're with, and say, I wonder if they're home. And then I'm sure whoever we're with looks over and says, this is the top secret thing right here. First you look and see, is there a car in the driveway? That's sometimes a good indication somebody's there. Not always, but you begin to look around and say, well, after you look and see if there's a dog there, because that's when you say, you can have this one right here and I'll get the next one, okay? But you begin to seek, you begin to look out and kind of inquire. There's some houses we walk by nobody lives in. You say, how do you know that? Well, we start looking around, we see the vacant sign on the thing, or you just see there's no signs of anybody there, but you begin to seek. And you see, God's telling us, Jesus is telling us in our prayer life, we're asking. But then it goes beyond asking, it goes beyond seeking. But then he goes on to say, and then he says, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And we actually get to the door. Think about that illustration. He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let me say something to you. Hey, God may not answer your prayer on the first prayer. Don't quit praying. We need to pray until God gives us the answer or God says no. We need to continue to pray. We need to persist in prayer. We need to be like this lady here. We need to continually go to the Lord as she went to this judge. Listen, we must not faint or give in to the weariness, but I want you to see some things that would encourage us in this passage of Scripture here about the Lord. Listen, I would have been discouraged. Think about how discouraged that lady would have been. She had to know he couldn't stand her. I mean, you can fake that for a little bit. But eventually she's going to see it on his face. You know, when he comes in and kicks his briefcase, right? When he comes in and he's all, I mean, just there's a certain thing. You can hide that for so long, but she had to understand that. But she stayed persistent. And I want you to realize that God's not that way with us. And the contrast we can see from the unjust judge and the Lord is we need to remember a few things when we're trying to be persistent in prayer. The first thing we need to remember is that the Lord is just. I'm glad for this. We're not coming to somebody that's not just. The Lord is just. That means he's righteous. He's perfectly righteous in all that he does. We see here in the passage, unjust means somebody that isn't following the way that they ought to go. But I'm glad that when we're praying to the Lord, we're praying that somebody that does everything right. Do you know God's never done a wrong thing? What righteous means? It means the right thing. His righteousness means it's always right. You and I, our righteousness is as filthy rags. That means we don't do everything right. But God has never done anything but the right thing. And the Bible teaches us that he's just. The Bible said in Psalm 11:7, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance, his continuance doth behold the upright." Psalm 145 and 17, "The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all of his works." The unjust judge did not always do what was right, but we need to remember we're praying to a God in heaven that will always do the right thing. That ought to encourage us. I mean, that lady, she was persisting through with a man that he was just aggravated, didn't like to be alive. He didn't like nobody but himself, live for himself. But I'm glad we have a God in heaven that ain't that way. I'm glad that we serve a Lord that is just and that is right. But I want you to notice another thing. This man, this unjust judge, began to complain about some things. He notices, first he admits that he was troubled. He let it out. Probably posted on Facebook, right? How do you get rid of somebody that keeps coming to your office, right? You know how the people do those things, like, you know, ask them questions. And I'm guess what? If he did that, he'd probably get a lot of answers. But he let it out. He was troubled inside. But then he began to see how it was wearying him and how it was going to continue to weary him. And I want to encourage you here tonight. The Lord is not wearied. The unjust judge was wearied and was going to continue to be wearied by her continual coming. It was going to wear him out. He was troubled by her continual coming. But the Bible teaches this in Isaiah 40 and 28. He said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Listen to me, friend. The unjust judge, he was operating out of agitation. He was operating out of frustration. But thank God we ought to keep praying because, hey, we have a God that operates by invitation. I'm talking about, hey, God's not motivated, hey, by the frustrations or the agitations, because the Bible said in Hebrews 4 and 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We have an invitation to pray. This guy was answering the call or meeting the need because he was agitated or frustrated. May I say, the God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, will answer our prayer because of invitation. I think about this. He's not wearied. Think about this. We have an unlimited access. You don't get that anywhere. I mean, even when they say unlimited, you know, there's all kinds of unlimited this and unlimited that. It still ain't unlimited. But he says, "Let us therefore now come boldly unto the throne of grace." We have an invitation open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God did not say, Well, Judy, you were here at 9 this morning. Now, Judy, you was back here at 1. Judy, you have to come back tomorrow. You call a lot of places. That, first off, if you can get in today, would be the miracle, right? If you could get in today. But then if you call back again, you can sense that in people's voices. But God's not that way. Let us therefore come boldly, not as in a prideful sense, as a sense of coming in because we're somebody. That's not what that means. But because of the blood of Jesus, we belong at that place. We have access through what Jesus did at Calvary. And we're to come in because we're His and He wants us to come. And we have an unlimited access to the throne. I'm glad that there's no limits on how much we can pray. There's not a timer that goes off and says, all right, that's enough. You're going to have to quit somebody else's turn. Aren't you glad that He's omniscient, omnipresent? I mean, I'm just glad He's God because... what if I went to pray and was having a dire need, but Mark was in the office? Well, you have to wait till Mark's done. Y'all, think about that for a second. Y'all ever think, I sometimes have 2 kids talking to me at one time, and I have no idea what's going on. But God in heaven can be listening to Mark with the same intense, I ain't figured out how to be in 2 places at one time. If y'all ever figured out, let me know, okay? I got a lot of things I'd like to get done. But I can't. But God somehow, in who He is, with the same intent, He doesn't give any less to Mark and say, well, Mark, listen, I'm going to listen to you like 30%, right? But I'm going to let Joshua have about 40%, and then Judy's got the other 30%, okay? And we'll get this thing back. The same all that He is goes to you. At the same time, all that He is can go to me. I'm talking about, that's an amazing thing. I mean, I can't explain it, but I'm just telling you, it's wonderful. And we have an unlimited, you know why we ought to be persistent in our prayer life? Because we can go at any time. That's why He teaches us to pray without ceasing. We don't have to leave. It doesn't mean 24 hours a day that we're in prayer, but we're not leaving, the talking to the Lord. I mean, we can not be bowed down on our knees, but we can continue to talk to God all day long. That's what that's saying. Why is that? Because we have an open invitation. God is not like this judge. He's not operating out of frustration or agitation. Thank God it's invitation. But not only in the access, but in what we can pray about. Now, there'll be certain places, you know, I mean, they're specialists. That's what it is, what it is. I mean, I was not alive for this, but years ago, a family doctor did everything. Normally in the office, right? I mean, some of y'all could testify to that. I mean, now you see a specialist that'll send you to another specialist to another specialist. Trust me, I know. But I'm glad when we go to pray that God's not like, well, you call a line that says, if you need this, press 1. If you need this, press 2. If you need this, press 3. If you need, and by the time I get to the end, I done forgot what the first 7 or 8 numbers were. And then I got to listen to the menu again. And then the last one goes to the operator. And then the operator says, well, you're going to have to call this number back during these hours. That's how it goes. But I'm glad when we go to God, I ain't got to say, it's number 4 or number 6. But I'm glad that, hey, He's invited me to come to pray about everything. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not only can we come without limits, but we can come with everything. There is not one thing in your life you can't pray about. That's what that verse tells us. We have the ability, because of what Jesus did at Calvary, to not only go to God, but go to God about everything. That's what this is teaching you, why we ought to be persistent in prayer, because we can. The ability is there because of what Jesus has done for us. We can go to God at any time. And not only can we go to him any time, thank God, he ain't going to send us to a specialist. He's not going to say, go over here. We'll get you set up with an appointment. He say, I'll take care of it right here in-house. I got the answer to the problem. The Lord's not wearied. Aren't you glad God ain't wearied? I'm glad he don't get tired. Listen, I'll be real honest. I mean, Courtney probably don't testify right here, but she'd probably tell you I agitate her. Y'all don't laugh. It happens to y'all too. So we could have testimony hour if we wanted to. But I'm thankful for this. I may come back time and time again with the same thing. I may keep knocking, keep praying, but I'm glad he don't get aggravated. I'm glad he don't get frustrated. I'm glad that he's given me an open invitation. You know why we need to be persistent in our prayer lives? Because the Lord's not wearied. He ain't like this judge get torn down. He says, come to me. I want you to be here. I want you to bring it to me. I want you to tell me. He wants us to pour our hearts out unto him. We see that the Lord is just. We see the Lord is not wearied. But lastly, notice this. We see the Lord cares. And this matters. This unjust judge did not care about anybody but himself. And two mentions in this passage gives us that he didn't even care about God, didn't care about man. But I'm glad to tell you that ain't the God that we serve. I'm glad to tell you that ain't the Savior that we have. Jesus cares. A good scripture reference for this, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what this verse clearly teaches? It clearly teaches that the Lord cares about you. I don't have the ability. Tom doesn't have the ability. Greg doesn't have the ability. We don't have the ability to take your cares. We can listen. Times we can offer some help. But we cannot burden those in a way that would relieve you from those and bring you and grant you some peace. But I know somebody. I know somebody who many times has done that for me. Where I went in heavy, went in burdened, went in weighed down over something. And he welcomes us. He says, bring your care. And he said, listen, he said, I want you to throw them far out casting. He said, throw them out of reach of yourselves. I'm able to bear the burden. I'm able to take the care. I'm able to shoulder the load of this thing. Listen, nobody cares for you like Jesus. You know why we ought to persist in prayer? Because God cares about our prayer life. God cares about the things that matter to you. We pray about all kinds of different things. Some things are monumental. This church has been in prayer for a monumental request, and we've seen God work in the life of Tom and his grandson, Jace, and we thank God for those things. But you know that there's prayers that we pray on a daily basis that nobody else would even know about, but God still cares about those just the same way. Now, I mean, I may be able to tell certain, and I'm glad for this. I could call my dad, and I could say things to my dad and ask him things. And because he loves me, he would absolutely take the time to listen. Now, sometimes he might say, well, Josh, you're silly or whatever, you know. But he loves me. But then I think about my Father in heaven. Because a lot of times I can bring things to my dad, and my dad, he just say, I can't help you there. There's nothing I can do about that, right? But I'm glad I got a Father in heaven that I can take everything to and leave it with him. That's what he's telling us. I want you to know tonight, listen, this woman was coming into an office where nobody cared about her. You'll never go to the throne of grace where somebody don't care about you. You'll never bring a request. You'll never come in before God. It'll ever be never one time in your life that you'll ever go there. Maybe you're going with sin that you need to confess. Maybe you're going with whatever it may be. But I'm telling you, every time you go, listen, he cares for you. He cares so much. Hey, Revelation 5 and 8 gives us this picture. Now, I can't tell you all these things, but I can tell you this about it. Revelation 5 and 8 speaks of this, and it says, there are some golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's the one thing I can take out of this. And I probably said this here before, so just humor me, but it's the best illustration I got. I still got them. I say, what, we were married in 2008, 11, 12, so how many years have we been married now? 12, that's what I thought. Y'all pray for me. It's been great too. Thank God for it. But listen to me. In my house, in my office, I got a pile of letters she wrote me when we were dating, before we were married. When she moved in, after we got married, and she brought all of her stuff, and we were trying to find a place for it, she found a box that was full of letters she wrote me. You say, why'd you keep them? Because they were precious to me. God in heaven has got your prayers bottled up, Steve. Talking about a reason to pray. For him to hang on to all them things that we've prayed about. They're precious to him. You know why they're precious to him? Because you're precious to him. We ought to pray and be persistent in our prayer lives, because when we come to a God in heaven who cares about us. That's wonderful. It exalts my ability to be able to speak and say and to think about he is exceedingly abundant, but more than we all and think. That's what that is. You think about it. I mean, I can't remember. My memory's not great. Y'all pray for me. But I think about how many times, think about over your lifespan, how many prayers you've prayed. How many things you've brought to God and said to God. And you probably could, if you were honest, you probably couldn't remember a lot of the things you prayed about, right? We're just being honest over the years. But when we get to heaven, I don't know. He may pull them up out of that vial. Say, you remember this? I remember this, Judy. I remember this, Mark. I remember this, Steve. I think about that just how wonderful that is. I want you to grasp this. We ought to be persistent, because when we go to the throne of grace, we go to one who cares for us. I've lived in this passage of Scripture for a long time, but in Hebrews 4, 14 and 15, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's touched by the things that we bring to him. I've not seen him. And Judy, you can come on. I'm wrapping up. I've not seen him, Greg, but I've touched him. When you come in brokenhearted, and you come in discouraged, and you come in all these different ways, do you realize that it touches him? I'm talking about he cares for us. He's our great high priest. This woman didn't have anybody to stand on their behalf, but thank God we have somebody that's praying for us and interceding for us night and day. And when we go to him, he cares for you and I. You know why we ought to be praying, and what Jesus was saying, we ought to pray and not to faint. We ought not to quit, because we need to remember we're praying to a Lord that is just. We're praying to one that does everything right. We need to remember that the Lord is not weary. The devil will tell you you're aggravating God, and God says, you just come to me. You just bring it to me. You bring everything. Come anytime that you want. Hey, listen, he doesn't operate out of agitation, but he's operating out of invitation. He desires us to be with him. But we ought to be persistent in prayer, because what you care about, he cares about. Man, that's good right there. I mean, in the Psalm 8 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? It takes a very pointed view to find Dunbar, West Virginia on the globe. Did y'all know that? If you get on Google Earth, When you spin that globe around, you see it's real big to start, and you can start zooming in. Now, I don't know if it tells you the magnification to get down, but when you start zooming in, first you'll start zooming in on some continents, and then you can start zooming in on North America. You'll see South America, and you'll see Canada there. Then you start zooming in on the United States, even in the 50 states. You'd have to really zoom in to find, listen, West Virginia is a state, by the way. You'd have to zoom in. Micah was reading a state book on the way in the car, and he was asking about the populous places in West Virginia, and I just gave him a guess. Charleston and Wheeling and Huntington and Martinsburg, and I started thinking about cities that I thought would be big, and Morgantown's the biggest city, and especially on Saturdays. And when we're winning games, it's even more. But even if you'd look at the state like that, you wouldn't see Dunbar. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all stay with me. But you'd have to keep zooming in. And as you finally got down here in a little town on the Kanawha River, exit number 53, Dunbar, West Virginia, Roxalana Road. Even says Roxalana. They couldn't find us. Most people couldn't find us if their life depended on us. But God in heaven visits with us regularly. He comes down and meets with us. He comes down here and joins in this sanctuary. I'm talking about, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Can I say, you know why? Because he cares. We may just be an identification number to the United States government. We may just be a political affiliation. We just may be a bank account to some, however it may be looking. But thank God in heaven, there's a God in heaven that knows me more by a number. There's a God in heaven that knows me more by a place. Hey, listen, he cares about us, and he's mindful of us, and he visits us here. We ought to just praise God for that. We need to remember that he cares. That he cares. Let's bow our heads.